lunchtime on a Thursday. Matt Smith sitting in for Stoke, and we are taking in Michigan State, Mississippi State. A couple of these games have gotten to the second half. You said we were collectively pulling for Michigan State.
Well, it's a team ride for
because
Richie.
Because of Richie.
Yeah, yeah. Not you, apparently.
Yeah.
But the rest of us.
I kind of made a play the other way, but it's not
fading Richie.
Not looking great right now at 63-49. No. Kevin's feeling the underdogs today, too, as well. Team underdog for Kevin Kistner.
Team underdog.
All day long, basically, for Kev.
Yeah, a little housekeeping. Stevens, I think, may have gotten more than that 100 grand I mentioned. So, look, I mean, they were going to have to pony up to keep him there.
I couldn't believe 100 grand. So now that it's more.
Well, and the other part of it is they just put the head of their NIL collective as their athletic director because they fired Joe Parker.
Mm.
So now the head of the NIL collective, who has zero experience in athletic departments, is running things up there at CSU.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's fly by the seat of your pants, man. I kind of like that.
I mean, if you're not paying, you're not playing anymore.
Oh, 100%.
So you've got to embrace that. And even Rick George, the AD at Colorado, at the beginning of his tenure, was hesitant and resisted against it. And then, of course, you know, dove into the deep end first.
How big of a deal is it for Rick George to win AD of the year? Is that just a fun, you know, you get a trophy and you get to write down on your resume, or is that actually a big deal?
Yeah, no, it's a big deal. I have long said that Rick George is one of the best athletic directors in the country, and you're going to be judged based upon, mostly as an athletic director, what the success rate is on the football field.
Yeah, of course.
But when Rick George showed up, he raised $150 million almost instantly to renovate that north side of Folsom Field. Mike Bone could never do it, and Rick did it almost instantly. He put them in a good position to succeed. Mike McIntyre wasn't his hire. He went out and he got Mel Tucker. Mel Tucker was a good hire until he got hired away by Michigan State. And then, you know, he kind of got left holding the bag there late in the process with Carl Durrell. Now, that was a bad hire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was a bad hire. But I think we can all agree that he's more than made up for it since.
Oh, absolutely. You landed prime, and you made CU relevant again. That alone is worth the award. All right, now back to the basketball program. Let's go to CU and what they were able to do last night against Boise State. Here's Tad Boyle talking about the big win.
I knew it was going to be a battle against these guys. You just knew from watching film and watching that team all year. They got some tough-minded guys. They're a quality program. And, you know, we used to scrimmage Boise before the season started. We stopped that probably, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. But we always get something out of that because when you play them, you got to match their physicality and their toughness. It doesn't matter who they have. You know, they got a totally different team now than when we played them back in the day.
And I actually think that's something. I didn't think CU played their best game. You said they hadn't played their best game in a couple of consecutive games here. But matching the physicality and the toughness, that is something they certainly did against Boise. And like we said, the defensive effort of holding their best score to 6.0 in the first half, they certainly matched the effort. There were really how CU was able to answer. They're up, what, 7? Boise State makes a little run. It gets cut down to 2 or 3 points, but every time that looked like or felt like momentum was going to go back with Boise, De Silva would hit a big shot. Lampkin with that tip-in that I mentioned that was huge, or K.J. Simpson had that floater in the paint late in the game that was just big. How about the steal from K.J. Simpson after he missed the floater and then goes back up and scores with the right hand? So they certainly matched the intensity, and I thought they were the tone setter really the last five and a half, 6 minutes of the game.
Yeah, and they went 14 of 15 from the free throw line.
Oh, that's
so
great.
So they kind of diminished some of their outside shooting woes because they were only 4 of 15 from 3, and 3 of those came from Tristan Da Silva. It's not like the scoring was very spread out, and it's a concern for me. It is, because you move into the round of 64, you got a Florida team. I know they're missing their best player, but they got a couple of good guards. You're going to have to physically compete down the stretch. And I thought the Buffs this year, they've been a bit of a softer team, okay? You could push them around a little bit, but they geared up and they locked in defensively. Because, I mean, we saw what they did against Nfale Dante of Oregon in the Pac-12 title game. The guy didn't miss a shot.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't missed a shot in 2 games. They did a much better job, I thought, at least limiting opportunities, except for Boise missed a lot of bunnies. And CU, what did they surrender? Like 18 offensive rebounds? Yeah, that was the biggest concern last night, and certainly even more impressive. You give up 19 offensive rebounds to another team in a game of college basketball, 9 out of 10 times you're losing that game.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you get out-rebounded on the offensive glass 19-6. Well, they did last night, but Boise just offensively was inept, which was surprising from the Mountain West's most efficient offense.
Yeah, well, they were also terrible shooting the ball. Boise State was from three, at least 11%. I just realized, I know they were missing everything. I didn't realize they only made two the entire night.
The one thing that is probably worth highlighting, KJ Simpson, 19 points, right? Should have probably been Pac-12 Player of the Year this year. Well, he goes 6 of 18 from the field last night. Not a good shooting night for KJ whatsoever. But I thought defensive rebounding down the stretch, I think he had maybe 4 or 5 rebounds in consecutive possessions defensively.
Yeah.
And if you can limit a team to one shot down the stretch and they're not shooting well, that is what gives you a chance. You're getting consecutive stops.
What's KJ Simpson as a pro? Because the dude, he's got talent for sure. He can facilitate. He can be a pass-first type of guy. He can be a score-first type of guy. But he's just little. He's just little.
He'll be playing for Barcelona.
You think so?
Yeah. I know a lot of people think that he's going to be a solid NBA player. I don't see it. He's too small. His handle's good. He's a scorer. The thing about KJ is he's probably more of a 2, but he's playing a 1 at CU. So if he can find a way to shoot consistently, then maybe he has a chance to stick around. But he's a G League guy right now until he proves himself. And again, was he 6'2"?
Yeah.
I mean,
listed as 6'2", so probably 6'1".
If you're going to play in today's NBA under 6'4", skill-wise, you've got to be dangerous. Mm-hmm. And I just don't see it from him.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, if he's a shooting guard in this that level, he's going to get destroyed on the defensive side of the floor.
Yeah. But again, Barcelona, you know, playing EuroLeague, playing in China, something like that. Mm-hmm. He could be a good Chinese basketball player.
Yeah.
Because you got to, you got to be able to fill the bucket up if you want to go play in China. And he can do that. So maybe that's where we see him. Because Askia Booker's over there. He's been over there for a while. Yeah. Killing it.
He could fill it up too.
That's the type of guy you got to be.
Yeah.
KJ, I don't think, is the type of scorer that Ski was, certainly, but we'll see.
I forgot about it. That's a nice name right there. I didn't know what he was doing. I want to talk about Cody Williams, too. And you mentioned it might be dealing with a little bit of a lingering ankle injury, but he took the floor. He was out there playing, or he was out there, at least. He comes off the bench. Could it be a time to change that and get him more engaged mentally because he's a starter and you say, hey, you guys go out here, set the tone? Or is it still best suited for Tad to bring him off the bench? Because the dude can fill it up. We know he can score, and that's your option. He just wasn't that last night.
No. The guy that showed up last night doesn't deserve any more minutes, probably deserves fewer minutes.
But don't you think that gets, doesn't it pull the extra out of him? If not, then that's a huge red flag, dude.
Oh, no. I get it. And there are major red flags here with Cody based upon the stuff that's going on behind the scenes I can't really talk about. So, yeah, I'll just say he took the mask off last night.
Yeah, he did.
He was not cleared to take the mask off, but he took it off.
Hmm.
I was wondering if the mask was affecting him at all. I mean, he played 11 minutes. He was 0-4 from the field. He did have one nice block. But outside of that, he just floats offensively. He doesn't have a quick release on his shot. He's got to have things perfect. And Tad will give him some plays, you know, later in halves. But they got, if they're going to start him, you got to get involved early. But did the guy who showed up last night or in the Pac-12 tournament final look to you to be a player at 18 who's ready for more minutes in the NCAA tournament?
No.
In the tournament, you're just going to ratchet it down. The one thing that probably doesn't get talked about is the fact that KJ Simpson almost never comes off the floor. Almost never. I mean, I think he sat in the first half for 20 seconds.
Yeah, he played 39 minutes last night.
Yeah, but go look at the rest of his game log here lately. 39 minutes against Boise State, 39 minutes against Oregon, 40 against Wazoo, 39 against Utah, 39 against Oregon State,
damn,
40 against Oregon, 40 against Stanford, 40 against Cal. He literally does not come off the floor.
You think that's going to have to catch up to him at some point here if they're able to make a deep run?
He's in wicked shape. That's the one guy I'll say. He just never looks tired. So
yeah.
We'll see. Hopefully the Buffs, that's tomorrow, right?
That is tomorrow. Yeah, you got CSU today, this afternoon, 4:50, and then the Buffs with Florida tomorrow, which will obviously get you ready for that. All right, let's talk a little bit, actually real quick, about the Cody Williams things. I was driving in and heard Mike and Mark say this. And I don't know if I can subscribe to it or buy into it fully, but they were having the conversation and kicking the idea around of the way that it's gone with Cody Williams, is it going to hurt Tad's ability to go get these guys who are Cody Williams type in the future of, you know, hey, the bus landed Cody Williams. It was a huge, huge deal for Tad. And then Cody comes. He's not really looking like he's getting developed the right way. He's now coming off of the bench. Does this situation and this relationship with Cody and Tad hurt Tad's future recruiting opportunities?
Well, Tad has never really wanted to play the one-and-done game. That's why he's never gone after those guys, really. Because when you play the one-and-done game, you cater to them. You promise them things that you don't really want to promise just to get them on campus. And Tad's a pretty straight shooter, so he's not going to do that very often. But I'll say, you know, does it hamper Tad's ability, or does Tad realize that it's just not worth it? Mm. I think that that might be where Tad leans. Let's go get some transfer guys. Let's get some experienced players here. Look, if somebody like that wants to come to your program, I mean, we're going to recruit them. But at the same time, look at all the effort and the trouble they went through, and they got this kid here, and his agent, certainly been a thorn in their side. That's as much as I'll say.
So I it could be it doesn't matter if it hurts the recruiting path. That's not a path that Tad's walking anymore.
I mean, he's going to be recruiting most likely against the rest of the Big 12.
Yeah.
Next year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a totally different ballgame. You're probably not pulling five stars when you're recruiting in the same conference as Kansas and Arizona and, you know, all these other fantastic teams in the Big 12, Texas Tech and all these. So, look, we'll see. We'll see.
All right. Let's change gears here. Go to the Nuggets, who will host the Knicks tonight. This is the only time, of course, that the Knicks will come to Ball Arena. The Nuggets lost in their one trip to Madison Square Garden. In fact, they kind of got their butts whipped out there in New York. But it's a 7 o'clock tip. Here's a couple of questions for you. One, do we like the Joker triple-double? That's always the question. And I do tonight, despite maybe it not being a full four-quarter game because the Knicks are without OG, they're without Julius Randle, and Denver should take care of business. But what makes me feel good, Matt, is Nikola's ability to acquire the stats to get a triple-double in three quarters. I'm feeling a three-quarter triple-double night for Nikola, and hopefully it's a game where you see a lot of Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, Reggie Jackson, and Zeke Nnaji in the fourth and final quarter. That's what tonight should look like for the Nuggets.
Yeah, I'd probably be looking at MPJ.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I saw
like a double-double?
No. Like over 2.5 threes, maybe 7 rebounds. For people who have, looked before.
Yeah, sure.
It's just, he's been hot, right?
Yeah.
I think post All-Star break, outside of Jokic, he's been unequivocally their second-best player. Consistency for Michael Porter Jr. You know, the other night, I thought that was an interesting game the other night for the Nuggets. It wasn't their best effort. I mean, certainly against Minnesota, right? There was a moment there where it looked like, okay, maybe they blow him out, right? It looked like, okay, maybe here we go with the Nuggets in the third quarter. They're making a run. And then Minnesota kind of closed the gap. And it wasn't until MPJ started making shots that everything settled down again. That was, what, a C-grade performance from Denver the other night?
Yeah. You might be being nice.
But that's what we talked about. You had three matchups against the Timberwolves here down the stretch, and they weren't going to have Karl Anthony Towns. And then Rudy Gobert ducked the smoke the other night. So it would have been really embarrassing had they lost that game. I think it would have, in the fourth quarter, it became more important of a game than it actually was.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's just so frustrating. You score 70 in two quarters and then 17 in the following.
They're having they're having trouble faking it until they make it
okay.
In the regular season right now, but they're good enough to not have to do that for four quarters.
So it's just a little bit of, I think that's a conversation with the Nuggets of, if they come out and dominate in the first quarter, it almost hurts the rest of the game.
Well, they're getting off to good starts in some of these games, and when you do that, you want to make sure you can end the game early. You can victory cigar it down the stretch and put the end of the bench in. You're getting your Huff minutes and your Gillespie minutes and, what have you. But they're not putting together three quarters to come out to allow Michael Malone to sit some of these guys. And I can see, and certainly against Minnesota, I could see some of where Michael Malone's frustrations and maybe some of the things that he can see as the head coach of the team that we can't.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he got so upset when they beat Utah by 21.
Because they gave up 120 to the Jazz.
And they got outscored 44-24 in the third quarter. He was furious. The whole point of him getting so mad is he's trying to guard against that coming in the playoffs. And I think he can see this team has somewhat of a tendency this year to go through these lapses in focus from time to time. And you saw one in Minnesota. And luckily, they came out and won that game. Now, home against the Knicks, first game after a four-game road trip. Typically, those are tougher ones. But like you mentioned, New York has been on a road trip of their own.
Mm-hmm. Well, New York's actually been good. They've won five straight on the road. But they're without they're two of their three best players. And I like Brunson. I think he's a heck of a player. It's been a great story watching him kind of thrive and shine in New York City. But you let KCP chase him around, and even if it's staggering moments for Brunson off the bench, I like Christian Brown chasing around Julian Brunson as well. So I look at this as Jalen Brunson.
There you go.
As the Nuggets should take care of all the business, and it should be over in three quarters.
Yeah, I did want to bring one last thing up in regards to that Minnesota game. We kind of touched on it briefly. I asked you if Minnesota scares you, and you said a little bit.
Mm-hmm. They're earning that.
That was a wake-up call the other night.
Yeah.
That was a wake-up call. You can't play with Minnesota. You've got to take them seriously. In that playoff series last year, Jaden McDaniels did not play, mm-hmm. right? He had 26 points, including some huge shots down the stretch for them. But he limited Jamal Murray, okay? The length on Jamal Murray hampered him. 6 of 14 shooting. He did have 18 and 11. If he's going to be limited like that offensively shooting the basketball, he's got to be able to facilitate for others.
Agreed.
So that was a good sign, but again, I think it was a wake-up call because, hey, they didn't have Gobert. They didn't have Towns. That's their whole front court, and you beat them by three.
They didn't even have Naz Reid, who's their backup big.
Really good point. So, again, wake-up call that you can't play with your food with Minnesota. You've got to treat them with the requisite respect, and I will begin to do so.
And see, I did the same thing. That game was that for me of like, okay, this is the game. It came down to Ant missing a wide-open three-pointer that would have tied it. Now, I'd have liked Denver's chances in overtime because Minnesota on the back-to-back in that instance. But, yeah, they earned a lot more of my respect, and I started to take them more serious than I was prior to that game for sure.
Jokic kept them in it. MPJ won it. Tonight I'm looking for MPJ again.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight I'm looking for, you know, I think Jamal probably gets fired up to play the Knicks. There's a couple of franchises, the bigger name franchises. Bigger markets. He typically gets a little bit more, you know, gas his engine for. We'll see, though. I am more pleased with Michael Porter Jr. at this stage than I have been at any point in his career. I do think he may start to be turning a corner a little bit. He may be starting to turn a corner.
What'd you think about? I told Will this yesterday that the Jamal Michael relationship, MPJ Jamal Murray relationship, it's not great, but I can see their on court chemistry being developed for the first time ever since they've shared the hardwood together. There was not like tension, but they just didn't see the game the same way. And I think I think at times Jamal gets frustrated with Mike standing around and not moving without the basketball. But it seems like, from my perspective, that relationship is starting to form into a better basketball relationship than it's ever been.
When someone shows up on a regular basis, you start to be able to count on them. And I think Jamal has held a high standard for Michael Porter Jr. If you want to be the third wheel here, you've got to do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen him defer later in games here lately to MPJ, which is big because I don't think he trusted him much even at the beginning of this season later in game. I mean, we saw what Mike did in the finals. One game with 5 points, one game with 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
That's entirely unacceptable for a $30 million player. Well, it's not until you go out and earn someone's trust that they really start to develop that type of chemistry. And I think Michael Porter Jr., not only Jamal Murray, I think he's earning more of Michael Malone's trust as well.
Oh, I like that.
There's a maturity you can see with MPJ
right now. Yeah,
he's 25. You're not the same person at 25 than you were at 22 or at 20. You know, and I think he's just starting to understand. Look, you have to remember, he barely played in college, Mike. So
he played three games, right?
Yeah, played three games. There was very little learning. And before that, it was primarily AAU ball, where he was the best player on the floor every single game and dominated at that level. Well, you get to college, the game starts to get a little bit more complex. Now you got three back surgeries. Oh, boy, you're in the NBA, and you barely played any big boy basketball. Yeah. His learning curve was delayed because of all of it. Not only did he need to rehab, he needed to learn the game. And playing with Jokic, pretty easy to do that.
You learn the game that way, and you do it pretty quickly. Yeah, I mean, AAU basketball is not basketball. That's king of the court.
There's
eight other guys on the floor.
ISO scoring, one-on-one.
That's not actual basketball. It's a game, but it's not basketball. All right, How you feeling, Nuggets fans? What do you think about this Knicks matchup? They win tonight. They're 13-2 post All-Star break. Let us know at 303-713-1043, ramoslaw.com text line.
Do you sit KCP tonight?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay.
I would continue to roll this out until, you know, if this situation presents itself that they've created a little bit of a gap between them and Minnesota for two, or if they're able to create some separation between them and OKC for one, I'd try to get these guys playing as much basketball together as I can down the stretch. You'd sit them or consider it?
Yeah, for sure. At some point, you've got to buy some rest. If Michael Malone wants his words not to be empty about not prioritizing the one seed, these are the types of situations. You're coming home after a four-game road trip. New York's at the end of one of their road trips. Mm-hmm. They're sitting some guys. KCP's been dealing with a hand injury, okay? I'm sure he could play tonight. If it were the playoffs, there wouldn't even be a thought. But this, you don't have many opportunities left to maybe give a guy a rest. And that is probably the one starter in your lineup against a depleted Knicks team that you could probably afford to give a night off. I guess it just depends upon where they're at with it.
Yeah. But I also look at it as tonight, specifically with what the Knicks are bringing. Like, load management, getting rest. It used to be good teams beat the crap out of bad teams, and then their starters didn't play for the last 15 minutes of the game. Do that tonight.
Okay. Really good point. I'm glad you brought it up. This is what I just said maybe like 3 minutes ago. Why Michael Malone is so frustrated with this team right now is because they haven't been playing consistently enough the first three quarters to be able to do it right.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can come out and say, hey, let's get it done in three tonight, boys. We'll all take the fourth off. That's great. But until you actually go out and do it, and I think that's part of, he had another great rage timeout the other night.
You see him cussing, he was throwing his hands in the air.
Yeah, no, he's feeling it. And I think he's nervous that they really have let their guard down in some big moments this year, partially because of regular season and human nature. But I think he's just terrified to see one of those in the playoffs in a key moment, in a big game. Maybe you don't have home court, and oh boy, you got Rickrolled in the third. Now you're going to a game six or a game seven, and I think that's probably he's thinking of worst case scenarios.
Yeah, but see, I have a problem with that because how can I trust his team more than he trusts his own team? They're the Denver Nuggets. They're the champions. They're led by Nikola Jokic. When the postseason comes, they all gear up. How does he not understand that?
It's not your job on the line.
Oh, you're right. It's easy for me to say that, huh?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, it's not like he's getting fired if they don't repeat as champs.
No, but it affects you. And as a coach, the last thing you want to do is be the one who got in the way, especially with a repeat run. You want to put your players in the best positions to have some success. And the Nuggets have a great chance right now.
Oh, yeah.
But the best teams take accountability, and you don't have to try and bludgeon your younger guys or your second unit with saying, defend, okay? And I think that's where he's kind of at the end of his rope a little bit. So we'll see.
That's fair. That's fair because he will coach defensively every minute of every basketball game he's a part of. Real fast here before we take a timeout. Do you see this Long Beach State stuff?
This is a fascinating story.
The coach. So the athletic director now is coming out to try to take all the credit for this. They fired the coach.
When did
Dan
they
Monson?
Do it?
Don Monson.
Dan.
Dan. Last Monday, before the tournament was going to get going, say, hey, we're going to let you go. Find them themselves into the tournament. And now the AD is coming out and reading this article at ESPN. This is where I'm getting the direct quote. The AD is saying, quote, my belief and hope was that by doing what I did and the timing of it, they would play inspired. And that's what they did. That's Bobby Smitherin. He's the AD talking to him. I'm not going to try to pat myself on the back, but it worked, end quote. So he patted himself on the back while saying he wasn't going to pat himself on the back. I don't believe that for a second, that was the play. He was going to fire the coach and then ask him to stay around to keep the guys inspired. So it in his words, has worked. So do you give the guy his job back?
Well, there's a little bit more to it than that, right? So they're heading into the Big West tournament. And he fires his coach before the Big West tournament.
But they lost five straight going into it.
But allows him to still coach the tournament. Never a good call when you fire an employee to let them continue coming back to work. Just not a good idea. Yeah. Makes you look bad. It opens you as an employer to a really, really bad scenario, whether the employee acts out or whether you look like a fool because the employee succeeds so much. You end up looking bad. So he lets him coach the conference tournament, right? They enter the conference tournament as a four seed. Well, they beat UC Riverside, they beat the one seed in UC Irvine, and then they beat UC Davis. Well, now they're in the tournament. Well, now you got a live wire because you let the guy coach in your conference tournament, and now you're letting him coach in the NCAA tournament because, are you kidding me? You're not going to not let him coach the NCAA tournament after he just won your conference tournament championship. Not going to happen. Well, they got a lead over Arizona right now in the first half. 15 and a two seed.
What's the score?
It was 22-17, and Long Beach State was a 20-point dog in that game.
Oh, wow.
I am here to tell you Arizona will be out before they get the check in this tournament. They are too beatable, that Arizona team. They just are. And I don't know if it's going to happen today,
but
that's one we got to probably. That's Michigan,
flip to
Michigan
that.
State just won. We got to get that on the screen.
Yeah, I am now
for the waves, the girls, and the school.
I didn't know it was like that. Now I like them even more.
Long Beach, brother.
All right, quick timeout. We're going back up to Boulder. You got to hear why Prime says he doesn't visit kids' houses in recruiting trips. You'll hear it next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
Just as we say it, too, the Wildcats make a little run there and have now taken the lead over Tulo's alma mater in Long Beach State.
Yeah, we'll see. What is the Long Beach State mascot without looking it up? Without looking it up.
A guy with a surfboard and red eyes?
The palm trees. I know that Pepperdine is the waves. Help me out, Drew. I don't even know. That's why I asked.
It's the 49ers.
Oh,
what?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I actually didn't even realize that.
I didn't know that either.
Now, they have a baseball program as well. And they actually just go by the Dirtbags.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's just what I call Josh between breaks.
Yeah. That's what he calls me at all times.
Basically.
They got some alum that fit that bill, Drew. They got some alum that fit that bill.
Who are you calling out, Josh?
What was it?
Oh, don't hate on my guy.
Too low.
Don't hate on him. Don't hate on the greatest fielding shortstop ever. Don't do it.
Oh, come on. Boy. Walt Weiss is better than Troy Tulowitzki.
He did have an absolute.
I'm flipping that.
He did have an absolute rocket.
Oh my gosh.
I had some bad interactions with Troy Tulowitzki in real life, and so it's jaded me as to who he is as a baseball player.
That's fair. So. Just let me have my moments.
Okay, sorry. You got Duke and you got Tulo. That's your thing.
And almost Garnett.
And Nashville.
Yes.
Nashville's his thing. All right, Matt, I got to ask you something, because we just joined Coffee Break during the break. They're out there watching games live and having a watch along. And we're going to talk Prime here, but this is about CU. I said 6-6 is probably the record I'm looking at, and you said that would be disappointing.
Oh, yeah. Massively.
They'd be in a bowl game, which they hadn't been since 2016 when Phil was on the team, and they got their butts whipped in the Alamo Bowl.
They should have been a bowl team last year. If they don't blow the largest lead in school history to Stanford of 29 points in the second half, that's your fifth win.
You got to get that merch out, though, dog.
What?
You got to get that merch out. Remember the halftime Instagram post?
Oh, yeah.
That's why they lost that game.
Shador's halftime, the scheduled tweet. Yeah, not good timing. Should probably have your T's crossed, your I's dotted there, and I'm sure they will moving forward. But how about the USC game? You don't spot USC a 21-point lead. Travis Hunter plays, and Henry Blackburn doesn't take him out with a cheap shot in the CSU game. I think they probably beat USC because they lost 44-41 and walked them down. If they had just a few more minutes on the clock, actually, it wasn't even that in the USC game. If they didn't take, forever and a day going down the field that last drive to score the touchdown to cut it to three, they may win that game. And then Arizona, they had a field goal try to go up late in
They
let it go. They should have been a bowl team last year. And the talent that they added, Josh, offensively, they reloaded, okay? They've got a 2,000-yard career receiver from the SEC in Will Shepard. Was on a terrible team in Vanderbilt and still produced. Kid's a big target. He can play. They also added LeJonte Wester from FAU, 1,000-yard receiver. Water bug, quick as lightning. In fact, I think he's going to push Jimmy Horn for time.
Oh, right.
And then they added this kid Meyer.
I like the term water bug. That's why he's giggling.
Yeah, yeah. And then they added this kid Meyer, a tight end from Louisville. Well, they didn't have any tight ends last year. Their starting tight end last year was a converted walk-on receiver in Michael Harrison. Yeah. Now, he played well, had some big games for him, but they're going to be able to block. And then they actually just got this kid, Sam Hart, at tight end. He was an Ohio State commit, local kid here in Colorado, comes back. He didn't play much his first year, but that's another big body four-star tight end recruit. And that's just what they did offensively. Not to mention, they're hopefully going to get the healthy version of Alton McCaskill this year at running back. That was the transfer from Houston, had 19 touchdowns as a true freshman at Houston. Mm-hmm. He played sparringly last year, and then he decided he wanted to redshirt, keep that eligibility, and now he's healthy, and Prime says he looks great. So
I just think we're all getting a little big for our britches, our Buffalo britches of, you know, 2 years ago they were 1-11.
I'm well aware.
And of course you are. You had to sit through that nonsense.
Yes, no, I'm well aware. I think my point is this. Nationally, he's going to be held to a standard. He has been talking about college football playoff. You cannot be talking about college football playoff and then go win six games. That is massive. Would it be an improvement over last year? Yeah. Would it be nice to be in a bowl game? Okay. If they win six games with two of the top five picks in the 2025 draft, presumably, that would be a disappointing year. They got too much talent now.
Okay.
And they should have won six last year.
Their schedule's going to get tougher, too.
It does, but they've got a better team.
Okay.
So, we'll see.
We might have another little sidebar going on.
Wasn't the over-under set at 5.5 this season?
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
I'm pretty sure the over-under is at 5.5. I'll be over that.
Yeah, I will too. 6-6.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the baseline before it gets really uncomfortable. You win less than six games this year. Ooh. It is gonna. You called him Grouchy Prime yesterday. Wait till you see what happens. They don't win six games this year.
What if they don't? Does that mean he comes back? You guys got the theory that he's leaving when Shador's gone.
Well, there's a theory out there, right? That's Zach.
That's Zach's Zach, theory.
Zach believes that. A lot of people believe that. I still am gonna have to wait to see it happen before I believe it.
Okay. All right, I want to play this cut from Prime because this is the one from yesterday that really kind of got me fired up. I think there's a lot of folks out there that won't like this answer, but the story came out that Prime had left campus zero times to go recruit, off-campus recruiting trips. He's got $200,000 to make the trips, but he's done none of them, and this was Dion's reason as to why.
Let me address something else that I think I need to address. I don't know who did it. I don't know if they're in here. If they are, you could just raise your hand like we did when we were in nursery and we said here. There's an article that came out that said I don't go on visits.
Okay.
My approach, it's totally different than many coaches' approach. Sometimes I'm a businessman as well, so I try to save our university money every darn chance I get. So for me to go to, let's just say, I'm going to Florida, and I'm visiting whatever school, IMG. You don't think those coaches are going to be a little upset if I don't come by the school down the street? You don't think it's going to be pandemonium if I'm going to get naysayed if I don't go another 45 minutes? Then if I go to that one, then I go, I didn't come to that school. Now the coach is mad, so he's not going to let the kid come because he's mad because I chose to go to that school over that school. See, other coaches, they could do that, but I can't. And I've really pretty much done a personal survey. I really, truly, in all my heart, believe that parents don't want me at their house. They want to come see my house. They want to see how I live, how I get down. They want to see what I got going on, what God has done in my life.
That part, I understand. I want to go see Deion's house. I want to see how he lives. I get all that stuff. But I also think, and this is also, man, I don't have kids. I don't have anybody recruiting me. I don't have experience to draw from with this.
Well, I heard that knife company.
Yeah. Son of a. But I think, yes, it would be great to have me and my folks go to Deion's and see what Boulder's all about and go, hey, if I'm going to spend some time here, let me come check out the campus. But what is that feeling got to be like of, especially Deion, but any college coach, walking through your front door, sitting on your couch, having your Kool-Aid, and sitting there with you and talking about how much your kid means to them. If I'm a parent, that means more than bringing me out to where you're at and showing me how fancy you live and all the cool things you get to do because you're Deion Sanders. Maybe I want both, but I want you in my home more than me in yours.
See, here's the problem. This is the most flexible period in college football we've ever had, okay? Players have a lot of leverage in almost every situation. And I remind you that that was only part of the clip. He gave a 3-minute answer and gave more reasons. And the real reason that he's not making as many in-home visits or any in-home visits is because they're not recruiting incoming freshman out of high school primarily. He's in the transfer portal. You don't do that. And as he mentioned later in that answer.
Let's actually, I want to play that clip.
Oh, good.
Because
yeah,
we ahead. Do have it. So let's right, take well, a quick timeout and come back and play that clip and then get your thoughts further on that. Because I think that's fair, Matt. It's yeah. a really good point to you bring up. There is another side to this. And Deion is probably just the first one doing it this way. So do we give him a pass? For that reason, we'll tell you next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Soon, gonna break soon, gonna break soon. She's gonna break soon, gonna break soon, gonna break soon.
That's right, Kev said it. These are our, this is the song for your bracket. She's gonna break soon.
I really screwed that up.
Oh, what were you just talking about?
I'm really upset with myself. That would have made for some really good yeah. radio.
Look, I'm comfortable with who I am. We can share with the people.
Well, you just asked me how you properly pronounce Duquesne.
Yeah.
And I should have let you try on that one. Man, I should have let you try on that one.
Yeah, I'm glad that I asked and you didn't realize.
Yeah,
but
I didn't. I was, you got me watching the game, so you had me distracted. Oh, no, it's Duquesne. Shoot. Instant regret. There.
It's a
instant regret.
60-60 tie between number 11 Duquesne and 6 BYU. 96 seconds left in this ball game. You're sweating this one out a little bit.
Look, I mean, this is the first really good finish of the tournament so far, and it's an 11-6 game. Upsets, baby.
And you have?
I got BYU rolling in here.
Okay.
Yeah, I got
okay.
BYU rolling in here. Kicking myself a little bit because Duquesne was not a popular upset pick, but there were a couple of people saying, hey, watch out for Duquesne.
Look out for these guys.
Who do you think the mascot of Duquesne is?
Oh, wow. This is a good one. Mm-hmm. The Duquesne... some sort of dog. The Duquesne.
Flames?
Oh, the Flames. That sounds weird.
What about the Dragons?
The Devils.
The Dragon. The Devils is a good guess.
Are we anywhere close?
You guys aren't even close. Do you want me to get this one too?
Please.
The Duquesne Dukes.
The Dukes.
Oh, well, kind of the Devils.
Yeah, that wasn't that hard. Yeah, that wasn't that far.
Yeah. The Duquesne Dukes.
Don't you have to get out of here?
He just wanted to correct this one.
I'll just say, not if we're naming out mascots. I love this game. Let's
you,
go.
You're good at it, too. Yeah. You didn't even look that Thank up. That was you. Impressive, Drew.
McNeese State.
Oh, that actually. Oh, yeah. I may not know
that's
that
right.
one.
That's right. Get it. Now get the hell go. Out of here. Yeah, yeah, got to stump you on your way out the door.
Drew's heading down to Stoney's, where you can go hang out with Drew and with Philip Lindsay and Zach Bye. They're going to be taking in all the action there at Stoney's, and including that CSU game, as they'll take on Texas tonight at 4:50 on TNT. All right, we were talking about Prime. I want to get back into this because we were talking about his answer of bringing recruits to Boulder rather than bringing Prime to recruits. And you were right, Matt. He did further explain this and talk about kind of how he does it and how he's looking at it as the college football, the head coach of the Buffs.
I know when I was in college, I did not want Bobby Bowden in my house because I knew after 7 o'clock it was going to be rats and roaches on parade doing their thing. So that was just straight up, honestly. I didn't. So that never transpired. That never happened for me. And we target mostly guys that's in the portal. When do you make visits to portal guys' homes? Anybody do that? Do they do that? I don't do anybody. Have you guys heard of that? I think when a guy is in his 20s and he has one or two more shots, he don't give a darn about the pitcher. He don't give a darn about the parade that you want to take him on. He wants to know, okay, how are you going to use me? How can you help me get to the league? And what am I going to get paid? That's it. That's the world we live in now. I have never heard one guy say, I chose this college because this coach came by my crib. Have you? It's different now. The parents, I love them. And I want to show them Boulder. I want them to see this and how beautiful it is and why I'm so eager and how much I love this city and this state and this team. I want them to see that because guess what? That's where the kid is coming.
You know what, Matt? I really liked hearing that because I just told you in that last segment, I haven't been recruited. I don't have any kids that have been recruited, but I always thought of it of, man, how cool would it be for a coach to come into my house and hang out on my couch and talk to my folks in our place. But he makes a solid point right there. And I'm going to assume here that Deion knows more about 20-year-old kids than I do. He spends a lot more time around them than I do. So I'm giving him benefit of the doubt in this moment, Matt. He might be right on that. Maybe this is changing in real time. And it obviously is because look at what the portal has brought to college football. Look at what NIL has done to college football. So if he's maybe just the first one out, he's way ahead of the curve. All right, cool. It just seems a little weird that he hasn't made the trip. That was a really good explanation on his part, though.
Sure. I mean, you're recruiting guys out of the transfer portal. What's happening with Prime is people are taking little things that almost every, you know, coach, it's different when you're not recruiting mostly out of the portal. So for guys like Kirby Smart, you know, or Nick Saban when he was recruiting, they're recruiting the top five stars across the country. Those guys go into homes, okay? But you're even seeing this trend now that there is so much leverage with players. If Deion commits the money, the resources, and the time to go visit an incoming high school freshman at his house, well, it'd be really easy. That kid has no commitment to the school.
Mm-hmm.
It would be really easy for that kid to just want Prime to, you know, for the photo opportunity, to be at home, and maybe dad's a Deion fan.
Yeah.
That you, by getting them to Boulder, first of all, you're selling Boulder, number one. Second of all, the kid has some skin in the game and shows you that he's serious. He's not looking for a photo op. That's number one. Now, do I think that Deion answered that question perfectly? No. Do I believe he's actively trying to save the school money? Not really.
Does that money go anywhere? Or just, it's now just doesn't
Now it's a part used. Of the budget you can allocate to different places.
Okay.
Sure. But the point here is that, look, they're recruiting like six, what do they have, six incoming high school freshmen? Let me put it this way. Jordan Seaton, we spoke to him yesterday, the number one offensive tackle in the country, incoming freshman in this year's class. He pulled Jordan Seaton without an in-home visit. There, to his credit, there aren't many coaches that could do that.
Agreed.
So I'll just say it's working for him right now, okay? If he were back, if he stays another 10 years, that'll change, I imagine. But to his point, look, if he goes and visits this five-star tackle, but not the four-star receiver, well, now mom and dad are upset because, you know, clearly this kid's got five stars and, you know, you give it him an NIL deal and he means more. I think there was a little convoluted nature to some of those mm-hmm. comments. He kind of, you know, he wanted to remind us he was Coach Prime again, but he is a massive celebrity and an icon. So the rules are a little bit different for him than they are for...
You're right about that.
Jay Norvell,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I'll just say I don't have any issue with that at all. The lack of in-home visits, come to Boulder. Once you come to Boulder, you start to get sold on Boulder. Yeah. That's what happens.
Well, and I also would say that.
And it shows you that you're serious. It shows Deion that the kid is serious, at least enough to come take
mm-hmm.
a visit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about the Jordan Seaton part of it. I don't think it's that big of a problem to treat kids differently.
It's not going to come down to Deion being in your living room whether or not you come to Colorado.
Okay.
It's just not.
But that's my point of like, all right, if Deion goes to visit five-star offensive lineman number one in his class, Jordan Seaton, and goes and sits in his living room but doesn't do it with, you know, Matt Smith Jr., who wants to be a wide receiver.
Oh, he's going
to
be in my living room.
Like, you're not as important as Jordan Seaton. That's a good lesson for these kids to learn.
They will learn that once they get to campus.
Okay. Well, they certainly will once they're on campus.
I'm just saying.
Who's the most important?
Yeah, that part of it. But that, again, that is the small part of it that I think he probably didn't need to include in his answer.
Okay.
The truth is he's just not really recruiting high school kids. And he's Prime.
Yeah.
He is saying that part of it is beneath him. And... Can you argue with the results so far?
No, you can't. Well, those results that he's won in the transfer portal has to translate now onto the field.
But no
but
coaches,
as of today,
yeah.
You're right. You can't really argue it because he's done very well.
But no coaches are going to transfer portal kids and going at home. The kids in the transfer portal want to know, how are you going to use me? What are you going to give me? And how can you help me get to the league?
How
they don't want a photo with mom and dad at home. They're 22, you know, 21 years old, coming off a program a few years. No, I want to get to Boulder and start to get to work. So I had no problem with that.
Okay.
I had no problem with that. He made it a bigger deal than it was by addressing it the way he did. That's the truth.
That's some Deion stuff, kind of what he will do. He's polarizing.
Nobody asked him about that.
Oh, really?
That was No. That he said, let me address something.
That's right.
He wanted to go at the reporter who wrote it, but the reporter wasn't there yesterday.
And that also makes me mad about Deion.
Yeah.
So the reporter can question... Or you can question what the reporter does for a living, but the reporter can't question what you do for a living? What kind of nonsense, what kind of bull junk is that?
I think he's frustrated because there's a lot of people that are rooting for him to fail. and
he's Deion Sanders.
No, no, no. Hold on. I think he's frustrated because there's a lot of people that are rooting for him to fail, and you see a lot of casuals, you know, casual writers, you know, your occasional freelance guy who will write an article, and it does hold weight because anything you put out there, people are going to see, and not a lot of people are going to go do the requisite research on their own, and I think that just bothers him. I'm not necessarily defending it. I'm just saying he should have an opportunity to get his side of the story out there, and that is the spring ball press conference, the time to do it. So okay. if something is sticking in your craw, let's hear about it.
I just think he should worry about coaching the Buffalo.
That's why he's not in somebody else's house.
Not what a reporter wrote about you.
But that stuff affects you. Like, that affects your perception. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if I mean, somebody wrote talked about it for 2 days.
Right. If somebody wrote an article that said every time Josh Dover goes to the skate park, he's actually riding an oxygen scooter, you would probably want to get out there in front of that story and go, no, I'm skateboarding. Not well, but I'm skateboarding.
True. Text me, though, if you can get your hands on an oxygen scooter. I'd love to try it out.
You ever have an oxygen scooter wing around and hit you in the shin?
Oh, yeah, dude. That's deadly stuff right there.
Brutal.
There should be, let me get on my soapbox here, Matt. There should be scooter parks, and then there should be skate parks. And we shouldn't have to share. You know what I'm saying?
You're prejudiced.
Very much so.
Okay.
Very much so. Fourth quarter coming up next. We have a couple of games going down to the wire, and your bracket may be busted once this final 10 seconds is up. We'll give you some details next.